Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to call the Rules, Ethics, and Engrossment Committee meeting for the Osage Nation Congress. At this time, the time is 3:00. The date is March 26, 2018. Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Present.
Congressman Hamilton. Congressman Tillman.
Here. Next item on the agenda is prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time and just say thank you for the many blessings. Thank you for your watchful eyes over us as a nation as we go forward with the business of the Osage people. We just ask you to fill our hearts with wisdom, our minds with the knowledge necessary to make the decisions that we have for our people of this nation. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, we have an unlimited supply of approval of minutes. I don't know how many are here. I think there's at least 5 sets. If we could just briefly get through that soon.
Okay.
Well, assuming that these are right.
I think we have to read every one of the endorsements.
It's like it was you and me, babe.
Again.
Move to approve the minutes of September 21st, 2017, September 22nd, 2017, September 25th, 2017, September 26th, 2017. September 27th, 2017, September 28th, 2017, September 29th, 2017. It's October.
Get the 26th.
Yeah, I want to read those. First, let me just make a motion for those.
There's a motion. Second, motion and a second. All in favor, say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion passes.
Okay. Oh, this was that very fun day. The Health Benefit Act Amendment. Mr. Shawlock engrossed his own bill. Move to report the minutes of October 16th, 2017.
Motion second. Motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
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 Motion passes. That is the approval of the minutes. Next item on the agenda is discussion of rules and amendments. And there's a couple of things that we want to cover and go over, and it doesn't really matter to me where we start, but seeing how it's the election season, election cycle. We have a number of our incumbents that are running for Congress once again. We have a member of our Congress who is running for the executive position. We have a member of our staff that is... Two members of Congress, I'm sorry. Or whoever, the other, two members of Congress.
You didn't say, you forgot it.
Yeah, I forgot about her. My apologies. So two members that are running for executive positions, several running for reelection, and we even have a member of our staff that's running for congressional positions. So I thought a good discussion, but first maybe do a little bit of the reading of the congressional rules that we have that pertain to running while you're in office. And so Congresswoman Edwards and I were looking through some of these rules before the meeting. And so I'd like to start with those. I have some things that I can pass out. Shannon, I think you have.
I have one.
Have that one. And then we have copies of this. That's just the rules.
So we've got the law and the rules and regs.
Yes.
Okay.
And then we have this handout here. So what had happened, as we go forward, and Shannon, I don't know if you want to volunteer to read some of these notes and rules and laws, or I can, but there's quite a number of those that to go over. I know you're involved with this, Otto, if you would like to, but...
Well, I know that we need to be mindful of the prohibitions against using any Osage time, equipment, supplies, or premises for any campaign purpose. And that's section 4 of the election board rules and regs. So if you're ever tempted to go Xerox your literature or put up your campaign sign or in any way campaign on the premises or even use up Osage Nation time, which I think could be interpreted to mean, you know, you're sitting here in committee and you're responding on Facebook or talking to constituents or whatever, that you need not to do that. That's prohibited by the election code. And that would apply to our employees. They need to, if they're going to get on Facebook or campaign in any way, they need to do that during their lunch hour or before or after work. So we don't want to see, you know, a post at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because that's, unless you're off work.
Right, and I think, thank you, Congresswoman Edwards, and I think that under some of the definitions, if you look at it, it's been brought to my attention about electioneering or electioneer, which means any of the following acts performed by any person. One, the posting or display of campaign signs, or two, the display of symbols, numbers, or letters intended to remind voters of a particular candidate or position. Distribution of literature cards or any other item that could reasonably be considered campaign-related, or four, making any speech or sounds or playing any recordings that could reasonably be considered campaign-related, or the continued occupation of any space within 10 feet of the polling place. So, and the last one, six, any other work for a political candidate that gets into the board members of the election board, or a ballot issue with the intent to solicit an affirmative or negative vote of or other support for the political candidate or ballot issue. So to me, it goes hand in glove with the election board rules and regulations. Back to section 4, use of Osage government resources prohibited. And that goes back to the use of Osage Nation time, equipment, supplies, or Osage Nation premises for campaign activities or campaign purposes is strictly prohibited with the following exceptions. So it means a lot of things, but it does mean that if there's a certain member running for office right now, we can't go around while we're at work here on our premises with a sign or any kind of signage that says, vote for me, or vote for whomever the candidate may be, and that includes any kind of signage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's violations, and then they have consequences for these violations. Shannon, do you remember where those were?
Yeah, they're pretty stringent. So section 5, procedures and penalties for violation of these rules. Big A, any candidate who commits a campaign violation may be disqualified, removed from the race, and his or her votes shall be considered void. And then any candidate, individual, group, or organization deemed to have violated any election board rules and regulations shall be subject to a fine of up to $1,000. So, just again.
I gotta take my sign down.
Trying to help everybody remember what these things say.
Yeah.
Easily fixed, huh?
Even though the laws are set, definitions are set, the rules are the rules, we have to uphold the integrity because of the fairness to all the candidates that are involved in running. And so anybody else here that has any discussion they'd like to lend to this, please feel free to do so at this time.
I think you've got everybody that's running for office this time here, aren't they? Is anybody missing?
Allison's right over there.
Yeah. So we're not really missing. Are we missing anybody else? Okay. I just wanted you guys, you know, these are hard to remember. And it's just good to go back through them again. Because like I said, it looks to me like the penalties are pretty steep. Mm-hmm. So
again, I think it was just good because this is the first time I've sat through an election cycle, and this is to be helpful and aid you in your campaign trail so that the, you know, while we're here and while we're at work and while we're on the premises and while we're conducting our business, that we need to uphold those rules to be fair to all, everyone involved. So if there's no more discussion on that, anybody else? We can move on. Okay. The next, I want to talk about what happened, and it was brought to my attention. And as chairman of the Rules and Ethics, this is where this housekeeping. We need to go over this and have a good discussion about this. There was I think Appropriations Committee meeting back in February. Is that correct? Was it February?
It was when it was cold still, yes.
It was cold, and the meeting was posted properly with the proper time frame. And when, I guess, 15 people from the Hill that were here to attend the meeting, bringing their resources, bringing their statements, testimony, documents, whatever they had, were here, and we're having an Appropriations Committee meeting, and we didn't have enough people to hold a quorum. And so I think Congresswoman Edwards was here, flew in for the meeting, and I obviously Maria was here, but there were people that were on the committee. I think one, as the rule states, overall duties and responsibility, rule 4, Congress members 4.2, every member shall diligently attend each session, day of the Congress, and the committees to which they are elected. A member must submit a reason for being absent from the session in writing at least 24 hours in advance, except in the case of an emergency, to the clerk of the Congress and to the committee chair in the case of committee meetings. Okay, that's the rule. And apparently what happened was there were three members of the committee, one that did give the proper notice and two that did not. And so we couldn't hold a quorum, we couldn't have a meeting, there were people here to attend, and that doesn't make us look good from what my understanding is. It doesn't give the appearance that even though it was in the interim, everybody else was prepared and ready to have the meeting, and we didn't have enough congressional members who were on that committee attend that day, and so they canceled the meeting. And so if you just look at that from our perspective, we're supposed to, as it says, diligently. Now, does anybody know a definition of diligently? Attend each session to which they are elected. So I guess what we're getting at is we need to uphold these rules. And if we have a rule that's here and it's at least 24 hours in advance, then we need to do that. We have to do that. We have to accomplish that. I know some executive people were visiting with me about it, and so that's why we're gathered around the table today to discuss this. And it's been even brought up to, should we have warnings? Should we impose penalties, fines? I know there's, members of other tribes who you can be dismissed from the committee by the speaker, but that's why we're here. We're here to discuss. And I know we can do so in a proper manner. So I want to open it up for discussion and value the input of any of the members or the members of Congress. Congresswoman Evans.
So I think it's really hard for us when we have interim meetings because we haven't adopted what some of us have done in the past, what some Congresses have done in the past, into rule. And that one of the things that we did was we established a set day and time for committee meetings. So the first Tuesday of every month during the interim was committee day. And you might remember, I know Cookie remembers this, and we would have a health meeting in the morning, and we'd have most of the committees would meet on that day. And those were our interim meeting days. So the people could come up, get a full day in, work, they knew on your schedule. If I'm getting asked to go to court, I say I can't go on the second Tuesday of every month because that's my committee days. So we have never adopted that. I still think we need to think about that because that would make everybody know, second Tuesday I go up to Pawhuska and I have work to do. So that's one option that would help. If you decided for some reason not to have your committee meeting, then you can cancel it. But at least people know that that's when, they can get in their brain, we can all react to that's the day. Second thing is heater. It's hard for when some committees have meetings and other committees don't have any meetings. And I think if we're going to commit ourselves under the Constitution, which says you meet in the interim to study subjects in order to make recommendations to the Congress, we're supposed to be studying things. So if we're not willing to do that, then we just need to not do it. Because it makes it hard on people that are trying to get there. And I think it also reflects on how many committees should you be on? Really. If you're planning on studying and you're on every one of our standing committees, I don't see how you can do it. It takes a lot of time to study a subject. So, that lends itself towards limiting people to be on a couple of committees or be on. I know we have a rule that says we can't be on more than two select committees. Maybe we should have a rule that you're not on more than a couple standing committees. And then the third alternative would be, again, attendance in the interim counts towards a quorum by electronic means. I have set aside several times when I couldn't be here time to have our meetings, and we don't have a quorum. So it's frustrating when, particularly those that live further away, when we come up here and we don't have a quorum, it's very frustrating. But it's also frustrating to work your day around a meeting and then not have a quorum. And our alternative is that you're supposed to give notice so that you can make sure that you cancel a meeting. But really, I think a schedule would help so much in keeping everybody cognizant of what day they needed to set aside once a month or once a quarter, whatever it is. But the Constitution does contemplate that Congress will meet, and that's what it says, Congress may only meet in the interim, the period between two sessions, by interim committee to study a subject, and then there's an S, in order to make recommendations during the session. So that's what the purpose of interim meetings are for Congress. Study. I think it would have helped.
Standing committees? Standing committees or select committees? Is there a differentiation between?
No, it says Congress may only meet in the interim, the period between in two sessions by interim committees to study a subject in order to make recommendations to the next, to the set.
And what do our rules say about standing or select committees?
Are you talking about, I don't think they distinguish, do they?
I thought they did.
Interim studies is about a rule.
Okay.
Shannon, could you come in here and see if you can locate that, if it's going to distinguish either in standing or select, both, none, all?
I did bring up that I have a little bit of, concerned a little bit about how congressional affairs works, and I'll bring that up in a little bit.
Doesn't distinguish anything between
Select or standing?
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, as we sit here and we have Rules and Ethics Committee seated, I'd like some input on some of the things we're discussing here. I mean, should we consider the attendance? Should we have electronic means be a factor? Should we impose penalties? Should, you know, those are some of the things I want the committee to discuss, or other members of Congress.
I will say that if we would have had electronic means on the day that we had appropriations and health and social services, that if somebody could have called in, could have started the meeting, and then they could have gotten here. Mm-hmm. But we couldn't do that.
I do know that day, that particular day, I think there was some weather, but I don't think it was, no schools were canceled or...
Well, I drove up in the weather.
So. You drove up in the weather, so, okay, so it was okay. So.
But they did close the nation.
They did after about 11:30.
Right, about
11:30.
And
the meeting started at 10, I believe.
Okay. Well, that's what's out on the table now, is just any kind of amendments to rules that we have, suggestions. I know it's difficult sometimes. Weather can play factors. Congressman Hamilton.
This is just for anyone to answer. Has this happened a lot? Has committees had to?
CA has.
CA means a lot, too.
Still had. I can think of a meeting where, like, two times in a row we didn't have a quorum, and we had to. We went on over a month without, remember that? Without having a meeting?
For CA?
Yeah.
We did. And that was when I reached out to a couple of members that had been opposed to the electronic and said, you know, we're not paying our credit card bill this month because we didn't have a quorum. And so at least one of those people that were opposed to it switched their vote, and it was just for CA, and then it still didn't pass. And so that was when I said, well, all the people that voted no, maybe you should try to get on this committee so that we can have a quorum and we can get our bills paid. And that was when Cuggy joined our CA. So after that, we haven't had any meetings where there wasn't a quorum since we've added Congressman Supernaw.
But you have had meetings that have started really late.
We have had some meetings that have started with 30 minutes late because I've had to, you know, make calls, and CA is kind of a different beast in my opinion. We do meet, like Congressman Hamilton said, we meet very regularly, and it's really just a matter of people putting it in their calendars and staying up to date on the meetings and knowing that, you know, we're going to meet. Especially with the construction, we have met even more so since we are now overseeing the construction process. And I know, me personally, I get nervous because our staff gets everything out and ready. We've noticed the meeting, and then I feel like I have to go around and I have to, you know, kind of remind everyone, don't forget about this meeting. because I want to make sure that since our staff has gone to the trouble of noticing it and setting up for it, that we have all of our members here to start on time. But we haven't had to cancel any due to a lack of a quorum recently.
Speaker Pratt.
So I'm trying to follow what exactly is, are we just calling each other out right now, or are we like, are we actually talking, is there a penalty right now, or like what is the deal? Because if we're, you know, I mean, there, this discussion could go on and on, because you asked like what's diligent. You know, one definition is a painstaking effort. And I believe, if you're asking me, my opinion, should I have a penalty for an emergency coming up? No, that day, I didn't. I did get here late. And I had an emergency come up with a child that morning.
Well, So
I'm saying that I did arrive late. They didn't cancel the meeting. They delayed it until we received a quorum. And I'm the guy who's been making the quorum for many years now, so that other people, I'm always here, so I'm the one that does make that quorum when everybody else misses, so we're able to have that quorum. So for the practically one time that I don't, you know, get here to make a quorum, then no, I don't believe I should have a penalty. And it also says in the rules, session, make a diligent effort to attend sessions as well as committee meetings. It's everything, and so I agree that we should, but everybody should do that for sessions and committee meetings. So what exactly, we could sit here and talk about this for a really long time, but what exactly is, are we talking, let's go ahead and decide a penalty, or do we need to open it back up to, and I would have called in, but my phone was dead that morning. So, but like I said, I have been on many, many committees for the past almost 4 years now. And I believe, I'd have to do a lot of research on it, but I can almost say, I would say with pretty strong confidence that I could still count on my two hands how many times I've been absent for a committee. And when I became speaker, then I realized I should, because I'm pulled a lot of different ways, so I should not be on as many committees. But if we're gonna have, even then, I never had a problem being on every committee, and I attended all the meetings. So. But then again, sometimes people get in those positions to even make the quorum for a committee. If we're going to have a maximum of what people can be on, we should have a minimum too, because then some people just don't sign up for committees. Mm-hmm. And so, you know.
Well, thank you, Speaker Pratt. And I didn't. My intent was no. I'm not put. I didn't put out any names. I didn't. I wasn't going to discuss names. That wasn't my point. It was just to have conversation about going forward if there's anything that we should do. Because we have, as you know, everyone knows this, we have constituents who claim that we make a heck of a lot of money to be elected and serve as a congressperson. And those constituents believe that we should be here every day, that this should be our full-time job. I mean, we've all heard that conversation. Are there things that we can do during the days that we're not in session or interim sessions or special sessions? Sure. But that's what the constituency of, I don't think all of them think that way. It's not how it happens at the state level. It's not how it happens in Washington, D.C. But we do have people that think that we should be here every day. But if we're only required to be here 2 months out of the year officially, unless there's special calls that we have to attend, those people, and that's why I put this on the agenda to discuss this, is because I was approached by members of executive and members of constituents about that particular day and how 15 people showed up ready to go and we couldn't have the meeting. And it's just discussion. That's all I want. I mean, and I value the input of everybody, but if there are things that for 2 months we're here, and the special sessions that we have, those are a little bit different because the timing can throw us all off a little bit. But no, I want to hear if you think, and it's an election year, and you know, there's a possibility of six new people sitting here at this table. And we have to hold ourselves accountable and everybody else, so just wondering, and I appreciate the discussion, but just going forward. Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, you might also recall that last year, and the first time that I can think of that happened, we didn't have a quorum for a congressional session either. And that was because people didn't follow up and notify the clerk, as in accordance with the rules, that they're not going to be here. That, I mean, this stuff's not written to be punitive, it's written to try to plan. And that's what I think we don't do, and we've exceedingly gotten worse at that, because the first Congress had lots of interim meetings, and I understand that we had a lot more to do in terms of creating the body of law than we do now. But, you know, are we going to have interim meetings once a month, once a quarter? Should we put those in rules? I mean, personally, if we're going to have interim meetings, I would like a day of the month when we're going to have them. And usually I can call up somebody else and work it out, and we have two or three committee meetings. I mean, we did that. I was having health in the afternoon. You were having appropriations in the morning. I think CA was having that day too. So there were three meetings that day. And that worked out well. But it took a little coordination. If we would have ahead of time said interim committee meetings are going to be the second Tuesday of every month, I mean, then we would have had not, we wouldn't have had to coordinate like we had to, because we had to change it. Remember how we spent a lot of time making that work. And I think it would be easier. I know it's easier because in the past we picked the second Tuesday of the month. So that would help in some ways. Again, I'm going to say I don't understand, when we're only studying subjects, why it's a big deal for somebody to appear electronically and count as a quorum. It's a much bigger embarrassment for us. I don't know what the mission of that is, but I know that the other day that was really it reflected very badly on us.
Right, that's what I hear from others, that, you know, and so Chairman of Rules and Ethics, I have to have this meeting, and I'm glad we're discussing it. Speaker Pratt.
Did you actually cancel that meeting?
Oh, I was just going to say, but I am really in favor of, you know, a schedule. I was just like, I was in favor of the schedule of how we have meetings in session, you know, and holding that IFS for select committees and kind of working it out after that. So I was even voted for the Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday thing, Thursday thing that we tried to work out. So I would be in favor of having set days as well. You know, just a better schedule so that people, but even then, things, who knows, things come up, so I don't know. But yeah, I guess it would be good to have a regular schedule. Yes,
continue.
No, I'm good.
Congresswoman Wyborn.
I agree to the schedule. I was Speaker for 2 years, and I think my second session of being Speaker, I just had to make a Speaker's decision, and I put out, just as, because you can, the rules gives you the ability for the Speaker to direct the committee meetings. So I would put out my own schedule when people were going to meet, what committees could meet on certain days, because it just was easier. And it scheduled a period of lunch off for our staff, especially if you're working shorthanded. So I am completely for scheduling our committee meetings so everybody will know what time slots they have.
For the benefit of the people listening,
right.
Congresswoman Wyborn, would you go through the differences of special sessions, session, and interim meetings?
But I don't think that you could really do that scheduling with a special session, because they meet on, you know, they could convene on a different day of the week. So I think that's, and they usually don't last that long. So, but for a regular session, I think that a schedule is ideal. And, you know, how deep you go into saying this committee meets at this time, or you just leave it open for standing committees to meet in particular time slots. And I like the idea of select committees having IFS, because usually our committee meetings are shorter than a standing committee. I think a schedule's an ideal thing to do for a session.
And both of you being speakers, you understand too, in my short time, I've seen IFS carry all the way into the 1 o'clock, 1:30 hour, so.
Can I just say, like, that is kind of the unwritten rule right now.
Right.
So I think we're there, sort of, but it's still, it's not quite, because that rule change didn't pass when we tried to make, like, set it ahead. Like, here's when health is, here's your days. So right now, even though we've all unwritten agreed to have that IFS time open and start it, you know, pretty much, and make sure everyone gets a lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So we're starting everything at 1 o'clock, but it's still kind of a race to set your meetings, you know? So it's like, if whatever committees last, that's what they kind of get, you know, stuck with. So basically we know to start after one, but it's still kind of whatever you can jump in on, kind of a mess. So we don't.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I still would be in favor of saying health is on this day, commerce is on this day, DevOps is on this day, kind of schedule. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, something like that.
And we all know what the busy committees are.
Right.
The ones that have tons and tons of meetings and bills. Congresswoman Goodfox.
Well, I am, when Congresswoman Whitehorn was speaker and she did it that year, I was not a fan of that. And I threw a big fat fit about it because I wanted the chairs to be able to have the committee meetings when they wanted. And I was like, I was just real stink eye about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked.
It did.
It did work. And it took some getting used to. Because I think I was a chair of GovOps that year, and it did take a little bit. There was a little bit of an adjustment, and I think it was mainly because from 2006 to that year, we had chairs had been doing what they wanted, and we'd been, but the one thing that I will say at that point in time is we did not have the staff fully staffed. And up until that time, we did have a full staff most of the time, and we were able to juggle it. But then once we saw a little bit of turnover and we weren't fully staffed, it made it a lot smoother. And by the end of the session, I had gotten on board and realized that it was a good decision, and that it really worked not just for us, but for our staff. Most importantly, for our staff. That's who it worked for.
Congresswoman Edwards, and then.
But it also works for the executive staff who need to come over, and you know, we need them to be working, not waiting around all day to find out when they can come to Congress. So, to me, we get ahead of this right now for the next group, and we set some of these days. So I just did the math. I mean, there are 15 bills in the GovOps committee, which is why I said what I said today. I just knew that they have got a ton of work. And frankly, they had a meeting this morning. They have a meeting on Wednesday, and then their next meeting is next Monday. There's going to be an opportunity there's going to be an opportunity for 4 meetings in 2 weeks for that committee, and they've got 15 bills. Commerce has 11 bills. Health has 2, Appropriations has 1, and Culture has 1. Now, I've got too many committee meetings set based on the number of bills I have, so I need to back off some of my meetings. But I would be happy. I think a schedule that has Commerce and GovOps taking up larger chunks of time, more days, works. This is not unusual. This is increasingly happening with Commerce, but this has always been a GovOp problem.
Help.
I've got the clerk of the Congress.
I was just going to point out, and Congresswoman Whitehorn can correct me if I'm wrong, but also that year that we scheduled time slots for everyone, there were days that we didn't have session as well, because there are some days that we go into session and we schedule a session at 10 o'clock and we call to order, pray, approve a journal, adjourn. And so there were days that we didn't have session. We would have session every other day for a couple of weeks until we got further into the session.
I did. Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I did do that, and it was with the consulting with the clerk, because that's true. We would meet at 10 o'clock, And to me, if we were just going to approve a journal and we weren't going to do any legislative work.
Well, isn't that going to happen tomorrow?
Right. We aren't going to do any legislative work. Then that whole day can be utilized from 9 o'clock in the morning until close of business for committee meetings. And I would do that at the beginning of a session, because once we started getting things passed, once things would pass out of a committee, then we needed to start moving it along. So it was usually the first week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, that we would skip Tuesday and Thursdays of having session, because it wasn't necessary.
Now, the what does it say that we can meet from 8 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night? And we can work on
Saturdays.
And we can work on Saturdays as well.
Right.
And I have no problem. Of course, it's easy for me to sit here and say that because I live here, but that's two really good hours. I mean, Wall Street opens at 6 a.m. Those people are studying foreign markets and looking at world banking and doing those kinds of things. But those guys got to get up at 4 in the morning to get to where they need to be at 6. But that shouldn't be a problem for us to have 2 hours in the morning start at 8 o'clock. Everybody else goes at 8. That we could go at 8. And then if we had to come back in the evenings for a session period, I don't have a problem.
And I don't think most Congress members would, that once we start, let the legislation starts processing out of committees, our staff has a lot more responsibility for it. Sometimes, our current clerk is very good about really trying to get out of here before 6, 7 o'clock. And if we don't go long, she does a really good job at that. But if whatever's left over, when we get really busy in session, she has to come in and complete in the morning. So sometimes that's difficult for staff, depending on where we are in our session and the volumes we're sending out of committee and the processing they have to do. So we need to do that with consideration of having two clerks to handle the load, especially during a budgetary session. HONCA session's a little bit more relaxed.
Could a remedy for that be to hire a temporary worker, contract helper?
That's not working out.
We'll have applications this week, and the CA is meeting, I think, on Wednesday?
Tomorrow.
To go through applications, and we can make an emergency hire if we want to.
One thing you have to consider, too, though, and is that when you do an emergency hire, we can have them do simple things around here, but when it comes to processing legislation and all those things that Maria is talking about, that's not something an emergency hire is going to be doing.
One of the things we can do is have our select committees meet towards the beginning of session, some of them, or after immediately following session, that's good. But I really think we need to get commerce, health, and GovOps set times, and of course we need appropriations too, particularly during the budgetary session. We need them meeting every day. Mm-hmm. And we can't, and just relying on the chair to kind of come up with that has not worked very well. And we also have a rush to the board, and I'm always the winner. Chicken dinner. But then I get criticized, why'd you take all this meeting time? Because I want everybody to know when we're going to meet. So, I think it would be good for us to take, I'll bring chicken tomorrow. I think we should take those times and talk about and look and see. I mean, I know that commerce needs a lot of time during, particularly when we're talking plan season. Are we getting plans here this time? Any plans coming through?
Tallgrass is going to present on the 3rd of April.
And what day is that?
The Tuesday.
That's
I guess gaming too.
Well, one of the problems.
Congresswoman or Speaker Pratt.
Well, so yeah, because I would be interested in looking at the old schedule that we had that didn't pass.
Because, and that is Shannon who ran to, I mean, like, I think we adjourned that session and she ran back there and set everyone's committee meetings and had it all scheduled, like, here, committee chair, sign this. And, but we all realized it worked, you know?
Right.
And right now, we still, we do, I mean, like I said, it's unwritten rule, though, that we're going to leave that time. And I agree, like, tomorrow, there are times this first week or so that we didn't, wouldn't have to meet us in session, but committee meetings are already set and we have one tomorrow morning, so, you know, like right after, so. But then the next Wednesday, then we don't start meetings until 1 o'clock. So we can always have those discussions, but with all those meetings, a lot, several IFS, then we'll see the problem.
Good discussion, as we talked about regular session, the two that we have, the two big ones. We have the special sessions. I don't know how we can, you know, those are kind of a different animal themselves. But then the interim meetings, you're talking about whether it's once a month, once a quarter, to, I think it'd be helpful as well. But so that's been very, very insightful to me. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I know that we have our own rules for meetings, our congressional rules for meetings, but also in the Open Meetings Act, there are regularly scheduled meetings emergency meetings or special meetings. So, you know, if we schedule during the interim, every committee, we'd work out a day where committees were going to do interim meetings if they had a subject they need to meet. But then if something else came up, they could always call that a special meeting and do one if their committee was able to get together. So I think that's a good idea, too. I like the idea.
You have 5 days' notice on that outside of session to committee members.
Seven. To committee members, but your notification, right. Your official notice is still 48-hour notice. I have learned that.
In the interim?
In the interim, yeah.
Let's ask Cuggy how that works. Okay. We're going to make him tell us when he's asked.
Well, I think that we ought to, this committee ought to get something drafted up and
try again
on it. I do. I think it's worth it.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Well, I was just going to say that the last time that we weren't able to get it past the members of the entire members was because there was at least one committee that didn't like their time slot. And they were like, that's not fair. We're you know, this committee is meeting. It was health.
I was thinking, like, Dr. Shaw's not here anymore.
and so they felt like, you know, well, but it wasn't just him. That entire committee felt that way. The entire committee was like, well, how come we get 4 to 5 every single day? That's, you know, and so I don't know. I think this is a good discussion, but, you know, not, there's 7 of us here. And
which is enough to pass. Well, get one more. There, enough to pass.
I'm just saying we should maybe it, when y'all draft something up, maybe the committees kind of change around. Like, there's a way to have a set schedule so that one committee, like health, doesn't go from 4 to 5 every single time. Like, maybe we could change it up and they could have a 1 to 3 a couple of days or a week or something. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. Speaker Pratt.
Yes, sir. I agree with that, or at least have that discussion. We may have all new people come pretty soon, but at least, you know, set that up. And so I agree that maybe talking with them and switching it up, because the reason for Dr. Shaw's dismay at that time was because he was just given the 8. It was like 8 or 8:30 slot.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That was for rules and ethics.
No, it was, he was given.
Was appropriations. Oh, appropriations.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was, appropriations. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't health, but it was him.
Yeah, making those designated days might solve the problem, but in the past, if you didn't get up here first, all of the time slots were taken.
Yeah.
And that also, I never did say anything about it, probably to you guys, but I went home and cried, complained to my wife. But you know, that's a problem. And then another thing is, everybody wants on Congress, but I had people on there that never showed up to a committee meeting. And I hated to ask them to get off, but we need some mechanism that they don't show up three or four times and just automatically off.
Right.
Or something, I think.
You.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I would just like to ask that when you consider putting together a schedule, that you consider not just the committees, but actually the legislation that they discuss, because like Commerce, a lot of their meetings, they might be scheduled for 2 hours, but their conversations are so in depth that they need longer than 2 hours. So it could be that potentially they need an entire afternoon with no one following them so they can go clean to 8 o'clock if they need to, because of the depth of the discussion. And then with GovOps, because like Shannon said, there's so many bills that go to GovOps, it might be necessary that they have a longer time slot than just 2 hours. And I know our attention span might diminish, but we can always recess and come back in or something. But I would hope that when you make a schedule or propose to make a schedule, that you keep that in mind as well, because we have some committees that need that longer span of time to be able to complete what they need, even on one piece of legislation.
Well, you got your cracker up. Mm-hmm. I've yet to see anybody come in and say, well, I want the 6 p.m. slot or the 7 o'clock slot. And because it's like, you know, we're not going to work in the evening. But I think we have to consider that if we're going to schedule. Because, you know, and I know some of us have families, and that's important. And all that, but still yet, you know, we were elected to do a job, and if it has to be Saturdays included, then, you know, we have to look at all those options to be able to serve the office properly, how it should be. Congresswoman Edwards.
So on the next issue,
You can shift gears.
Okay. Go ahead. I mean, I'm thinking that what I'm hearing is we need to get together between now and the next meeting and try to get a schedule, send it out, see if we get some feedback, with an eye towards presenting a rule. Now the next question regards the committees. We do have a rule that nobody's on more than two select committees, but we don't have any rule, if I recall, with respect to standing committees. And it seems to me that we ought to think about how to get people engaged, not just because one of the reasons we have, and frankly, somebody today said to me, you guys don't even know how to have a meeting, which I was like, well, thanks for that. But, I mean, in some ways, they're right. It's 4-5 hour meetings. I mean, if we're prepared when we get here, those meetings don't last that long. But if you're trying to be, and you've heard me say, I would come to your meeting, but I got work to do over there. If you're on 4 or 5 committees, there's no way you could be prepared unless you're staying up until 2 o'clock in the morning. There's no way for you to be prepared for all those meetings. So I think the idea, and I still believe the idea, is that you get on fewer committees and you become more engaged in those committees, and you're really ready and help. You know, you're ready to help. Not just what do you got on your bill? I mean, well, what do you know about it? I mean, we sat here today a little bit and worked on some things. It was very helpful to have that input. So much more so than somebody showing up and going, what are y'all talking about? And, well, I'm trying to write a really important bill. I mean, I had a couple of times today when we engaged, and it was really good. So that's what I'd like to encourage us to do. And maybe limited committee service would help that.
What time do we have?
I know, that's what I said. You have to give them minimum, too. Minimum and maximum. No less than one, no more than three.
Well, it's 3:55. Anybody have any closing remarks or statements? I really appreciate the input, and we covered a lot of ground here. And I'll schedule another meeting. And in the meantime, The three members here can maybe get together and come up with something as far as the schedule and see how it'd work and talk about the things that we discussed here today. So, Chair would entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second. We are adjourned.
Just a general.
The other thing you might do.